Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at the Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/the Viking Age. All right, joining me on today's show is Chris Shad. He's been on the show before, and he writes for us here at the Viking Age. So welcome back to the show, Chris.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right. Okay, so unfortunately, we have to begin today's show with some pretty disturbing news related to the Vikings today, which is Monday. Vikings cornerback Jeff Gladney turned himself in to a Dallas County jail after a warrant was issued for his arrest that stemmed from an incident that happened last Friday, April 2nd, between Gladney and a 22-year-old woman that was his girlfriend at the time. The details of the incident are pretty disturbing, but I feel like I need to share some of these for people to realize that what Gladney is being accused of is something that absolutely must not be tolerated by anyone. So, after allegedly getting into an argument over text messages, Gladney allegedly assaulted the woman multiple times in various ways, including pulling her hair, punching her in multiple locations on her body, hitting her in the head, strangling her, and dragging her from her hair outside of a moving vehicle. So the Vikings have issued a statement on this, and it says the following. It says, "We are aware of Jeff's arrest and are gathering additional information. We take this matter very seriously, as the reported allegations are extremely disturbing. At this time, we will have no further comment." Gladney has been charged with third-degree felony family violence assault, and he's facing 2 to 10 years in prison if convicted. So, Chris, I already know what I think, but what should the Vikings do once they find out all of the details about this recent incident with Gladney?
Well, if the allegations are true, they need to cut him immediately. I don't think there's any place for this in the NFL. I think that the Vikings have done a very good job of staying away from this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid back in the 2000s, like, there'd be a Viking in the police blotter all the time. Ontario Smith had the Wizenator incident, yeah, which is a little bit more fun than this. You had the Love Boat, you know, but I mean, DUIs.
You had Chris Cook stuff too. Chris Cook.
Yeah.
Chris
Cook kind of did something like this. That's kind of in the same vein. Like, there's just no excuse for it. Like, I don't understand, even if the allegations aren't true, why are you in a situation like this? Why are you out this late at night with a woman that you think is receiving texts? And why can't it wait until the morning? Why can't? Because usually in these situations at night, you're not acting rationally. I could tell you a whole bunch of stories from, you know, my 20s where I was out past midnight or something and something bad happened. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just, I'm trying to tread lightly, because this is more than a football issue. This is,
oh yeah,
this is just people being dumb. Like,
it's a people issue.
Yeah, it's a people issue. Like, why is this still happening? Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the root of the problem, you know what the worst case scenario is? You wake up in the morning, she has sex from another dude, and you move on. Yeah. You find somebody else. Like, that's the word. Or you work it out. Like, what is the benefit of any of that? What is the benefit of prying her eyes open, trying to get the face ID?
Yeah.
Or, you know, and I'm getting kind of graphic here, but I mean, that's the details. She held her head to try and get the phone unlocked. So it's frustrating. Like, as a human being, I'm just sick of, like, even over the past year, I'm sick of other humans treating other humans like garbage. So if the allegations are true, I say cut them. And even if they're not, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my take on it. I mean, there's other things to say from a football perspective and kind of the position the Vikings are now in, but number one, most importantly, Jeff Gladney needs to be a better human being.
Yeah, and Mike Zimmer, he has two daughters, and I can only imagine, you know, if one of them went through something like this, you know, what he would do to that person who did that to them. And so I just think this is something that he's not going to tolerate at all. You know, they've gotten rid of guys in the past for just DUIs. And they've been, and like you said, they've done a very good job at avoiding stuff like this or finding guys that don't get involved in stuff like this. You know, Mike Zimmer, you know, he was with the, you know, the Bengals when they were getting on the rap sheet all the time, and he was able to deal with all those guys, and he kind of brought that culture of, like, you know, zero tolerance over to the Vikings, and like, if you screw up, you know, you're out of here. So I feel like the same thing is going to happen with Gladney. I don't expect him to be on the team any longer, and it's how it is. I think the Vikings are just doing what they have to do, get all the details, and then, you know, make their decision, which I think, you know, they've already called it extremely disturbing, which makes me think that they've already decided, and they're just making sure that their decision isn't going to have any legal ramifications or anything like that. But before we get into another topic, I just want to say this lastly about this. If you see something like what Gladney did and your first reaction is, well, you know, what if the woman made all this up? Well, you're part of the problem. Domestic assault is a serious problem in this country, and I know it's going to be extremely difficult to eliminate it completely, but in order for the amount of incidents to be reduced, you know, people need to stop blaming the victims in these cases. There are so many victims of domestic assault out there, both men and women, that don't come forward because they're afraid no one will believe them or they will be blamed for what was done to them. So in this specific case, one person was charged with a crime, one person had a warrant for their arrest, and one person committed these alleged assaults. So this one person is Jeff Gladney. If the woman who was allegedly assaulted in this incident ends up being charged with a crime, then go ahead, decide if you want to blame her or not after that. But tossing any amount of blame to the woman in this incident is not what anyone should be doing right now. The less times we blame victims in this case, then the chances get higher of these incidents becoming less and less frequent. So just please stop, you know, blaming the victims in these cases. So, you know, do you have anything else to add to this?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. I was trying to think from another standpoint. I mean, the NFL still has its moments with this, mm-hmm. which aren't exactly comfortable. I think of Tyreek Hill coming to mind, but it has gotten better since, you know, what did Ray Rice get initially at two games?
He's gone. He hasn't played in the league since.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of it sometimes is if there's video, like to me, that's just kind of, I don't know if pathetic's the right word, but I mean, it's kind of like, well, we don't really know if he did it. Like, if somebody is saying,
I mean, he turned himself in
with this much detail, there is a play by play of what happened in this incident. And I'm sorry for using the sports term play by play, but I'm, it's very detailed down to the second.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty damning, and I mean, yeah, the Vikings got to deal with it from a football perspective, but like I said, Jeff Gladney's just got to be a better human being.
So let's be done with this, and we'll move on to some Vikings free agency talk. So last time I had you on was right before free agency began, and since then the Vikings have added a bunch of free agents like Dalvin Tomlinson, Patrick Peterson, Xavier Woods. Let's not get that confused. Mackenzie Alexander and Steven Weatherly. So of these guys the Vikings have added from the outside, who are you most excited about?
It's all defense. It's all defense. Mm-hmm, like, pure name recognition, Patrick Peterson. But I mean, I'm not, like, when the Peterson deal happened, I was really excited about it. Mm-hmm. I was really like, wow, we got Patrick Peterson on our team. It's like when the Vikings got Brett Favre at quarterback. And like, you just realized all of a sudden, like, oh, Brett Favre is our quarterback. Like, I don't think Patrick Peterson's on the same level as Brett Favre, but I think that he still carries name recognition to a point where you can get excited about it. I mean, fans were excited. Once I kind of, you know, cooled down, I realized, well, wait a second, we didn't have much money to begin with. And now we spent $10 million on Patrick Peterson and we spent $11 million a year on Dalvin Tomlinson. It's like, okay, man, our offense needs help. I know Mike Zimmer wants to hang a banner for finishing fourth in total yards, or maybe that'll be like for the first game at US Bank Stadium. He'll just like stand out there and have like the machine gun pyro and all that stuff. And like, they'll just unfurl the banners because we don't have one at US Bank Stadium, as many people will point out, like just fourth in total yards, 2020. Like it really bothers me that the Vikings just went all defense in free agency, and the unit needed help. But I mean, listening to Mike Zimmer last week talk to the media, it was just kind of the tone like, yeah, we went into our bunker and we all just gathered around, and there was none of this Zoom crap, and I brought out my grease board and I started drawing on there, and we had some of the best defensive meetings you've ever had. And then I sat down with every single defensive player and I let them know where we stand. Hey, coach, what about the offense? Well, I'm going to be meeting with the offensive players next week. And we have really explosive offense.
Explosive. Yeah, you said that so many times.
Sean Mannion and Nate Stanley and what's his name?
Jake Browning.
I can't even read Jake Browning. They'll all be fine. That's a bad omen. And our offensive line, I mean, we won games with Rashad Hill. He started the Minneapolis Miracle game. Yeah. And he gave up six pressures to Cameron Jordan, but hell, we still won. I mean, it's by the skin of our teeth, but hey, he did well on that final play. Case got the ball off. Like, it's just annoying to me how like the offense is just being completely ignored. And I feel like it's going to come back and bite them in the same way that they talked about the defense, where yeah, we lost five starters. We'll be fine. Nope, you weren't. I know most of the guys are back, but I mean, that offensive line is so bad. I would have been more excited if the Vikings had somehow pulled the strings to get Joe Thuney. Knowing what I know now, that the Vikings were going to go one big swing, getting Joe Thuney or Austin Blythe, or there was another guard. I think Forrest Lamp is still out there. Like, just getting one big guy along the offensive line. If it works out, great. I mean, at least you tried, but I don't know. What about you?
I think the Chiefs got Blythe for like around $1 million too. It wasn't like he was asking for much money. I think they got him for pretty cheap.
That was the veteran minimum.
But you discounted the Vikings making a move for their offensive line because they re-signed Dakota Dozier. I mean, they're still making that effort. They're gonna come to you and be like, we re-signed Rashad Hill. We re-signed Dakota Dozier. We're still making, you know, an emphasis to improve the offensive line.
We were the fourth ranked offense, and Dakota Dozier was our left guard.
Right.
He played such an integral part of making sure we were fourth in total yards. Even though you're 11th in points, which is, you know, what you keep track of during a football game. Like, if we kept track of yards, the Vikings offense would have been awesome last
year. Yeah, I don't understand why they keep saying we were fourth in offense. Like, who measures your good offenses by total yards? Like, when did that start? Like, I feel like we've always done points, but all of a sudden it's like, oh, we were fourth. It's like, yeah, in yards, because you were behind sometimes, so you had to like just gain a bunch of yards for nothing.
It's like they sat down at the beginning of the free agency and Rick Spielman's like, all right, I know we need some help on DZM, but we'll get in the draft. We'll get, you know, Andre Pettersson, a pet squirrel in the sixth round. He can mold him. There's a guy from Idaho State. He kind of looks like Danielle Hunter. You know, he took a jiu-jitsu class that Janito Hunter used to go to, but he'll be fine. And Mike was like, yeah, but we were fourth in total yards last year. And Spiel was like, what? Yeah, we'll be fine on offense. What are you talking about?
Now, I know most of, well, pretty much all their free agent signings were on defense. But, you know, looking at who they were able to sign, they got some guys to come back. Did any of this prove that maybe Mike Zimmer has more value than just his skills as a coach, since, you know, a couple of guys like Mackenzie Alexander and Steven Weatherly decided to return to the Vikings, you know, after a year away?
I don't.
And Patrick Peterson mentioned, you know, he seeked out the Vikings because of Zimmer's history with corners and stuff like that. So, you know, I just wonder, like, if what they were able to do in free agency this year is able to extend his tenure with the Vikings for more than just what he's able to do as a coach.
I think that, you know, I think somebody mentioned, might have been Collar or somebody else, that Patrick Peterson knows Deion Sanders, mm-hmm. who was very tight with Mike Zimmer. Mm-hmm. And Deion might have been like, hey, man, go find Zim. Mm-hmm. He'll get you back on track. Mm-hmm. Like, the vouching of saying, well, you know, people left and they came back. I mean, it was there. Okay. First of all, if they left for 1 year and came back, how good are they? Let's point that out. Second of all, like, if Mackenzie Alexander and Steven Weatherly move the needle for you and be like, we're back, man. I don't know, man. Like, you might need to raise your standards a little bit, because I don't mean to be negative about this team. Yeah. I think they did a lot of good things, especially mm-hmm. in the secondary, adding Xavier Woods, who I think is going to be a better cover corner. Mm-hmm. Very in that Anthony Harris mold. I think that Patrick Peterson, if he is, you know, even a fraction of his all pro form, will be mm-hmm. an upgrade in the secondary. Mm-hmm. You still have Cameron Dantzler. You still have Harrison Smith. Mackenzie Alexander gives you depth in case something like today happens, but maybe yep. like an injury, like Mike Hughes gets hurt.
Mike Hughes, Chris Boyd, even he sort of showed some progress, I think, last year.
Right.
When he was on the field.
I mean, you also have about 18 draft picks or whatever, or probably will be 18.
Only 10 right now, so, okay? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I just have a problem by saying, you know, hey, our system works. We got Mackenzie Alexander and Steven Weatherly back. It's like, you know, sometimes there are guys that feel more comfortable in one system than another. Those guys yep. played for Zimmer multiple years. They came back. If they are nice depth pieces, that'll be an upgrade to the defense. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, getting back your backup defensive end and slot cornerback are, you know, earth-shattering moves that Zimmer's got more pull. I think getting Patrick Peterson, yes, but what does that get you? We'll find out what that gets the Vikings this year, because Peterson's yeah. only on a one-year deal. So if he's bad, yeah. I mean, then you kind of go, eh?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the Vikings had a number of notable departures, too, since we last talked on here, including Kyle Rudolph, Riley Reiff, you mentioned Anthony Harris, Mike Boone, Ifedi Odenigbo, and future Hall of Famer Shamar Stephen. which of these departures do you think the Vikings will regret the most?
Do you think Andre Patterson, texted Shamar right after it happened, and like, it's gonna be okay, buddy.
Yeah,
I know it. Like, here's the other thing that's funny about that. Like, I guess Michael Pierce, when he saw that they signed Dalvin Tomlinson, mm-hmm. Tomlinson's pretty much the same type of player as
yeah,
Pierce.
No tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, Pierce saw it and was like, oh no, I'm gonna get replaced. So he's like texting Andre Patterson, and I just wondered, like, if Patterson even had his number in his phone, yeah. just like. Who is this? Is this Shamar? No, it's Michael. Michael? I don't know. Michael. Yeah. Michael Pierce. Oh, Michael Pierce. And he had a good reason for opting out. I mean, if you got asthma yeah. and yeah. we didn't really yeah. know what this COVID thing was, we yeah. still don't.
No.
It makes sense. But I mean, as far as departures go, I mean, you replaced Anthony Harris with Xavier Woods. You replaced... Mike, who else was on the list?
Let's see. Riley Reiff, Kyle Rudolph, Mike Boone, Ifedi Odenigbo. I think you kind of replaced Odenigbo with Steven Weatherly.
I guess. Riley Reiff.
Yeah, right.
Even though he wasn't great, who's going to play left tackle right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
And do you take one at 14, or do they kind of finally say, okay, we drafted Ezra Cleveland to be a mm-hmm. left tackle, let's put him there?
Do you put O'Neal over there? Do you put Rashad Hill? You know.
And if you put O'Neal over there...
And you need a new right
situation. Tackle. Yeah, you put a situation like Orlando Brown, who went from right to left, and then he wanted left tackle money.
Yeah.
And the Vikings don't have a lot of money, mm-mm. so it's kind of, we could probably get away with it, but yeah.
Well, they might have a little more money coming up, because they did just renegotiate Anthony Barr's contract, so he's a free agent next year. And Riley Reiff had a pretty big salary, but he was going to be a free agent next year anyways. Kyle Rudolph, he had a bunch of money on the books. They're probably going to extend Harrison Smith, and he's going to, that'll free up some cap space. So they could actually, even if Brian O'Neill moves over to left tackle, I feel like they could afford to pay him some of the money that he's looking for. But they might even try and give him an extension, I probably feel like, maybe this year before any of that happens, to kind of get out in front of it like they did with Danielle Hunter, who wasn't so happy after he played out of his mind. And then he's like, hey, wait a minute, I'm like the 13th highest paid defensive end. And they're like, sorry. So which of these departures do you think maybe might be a little more underrated and then actually could have like a pretty significant impact on the Vikings?
Maybe.
So I'm looking
at, on what Xavier Woods does.
I'm looking at Mike Boone.
Yeah, actually, yes. Because, I mean, Delvin, Alexander Madison had a good week 17 start, but he didn't really do much in between then. And he had appendicitis, too.
That's not the healthiest backfield in the NFL, for sure.
No, and I think Mike Boone's going to get more playing time than we think in Denver because Melvin Gordon's not good. If Denver doesn't draft a running back, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Boone's RB1 by the end of the year in Denver.
I think they have like five running backs on their roster, though.
That's probably, that's probably like a super homer take, but I mean, I like Mike Boone. I think
I did too.
Slasher. I think a lot of the backs were underused. And I think this year, especially with the Vikings going to a 17 game schedule, I think Mike Zimmer's got to mix in Madison. And I mean, I think the Vikings take a running back too. Just
acquire
at the end, maybe a UDFA. I think that having three guys in the backfield and not really, I mean, I'm not saying give Dalvin Cook like 15 touches a game to save him. I'm saying, you know, Dalvin's going to get 20, give Madison 10, 15. And, I mean, he was averaging eight snaps like in the middle of the season, not plays, not touches. Oh yeah. Snaps are plays. So eight snaps.
Yeah. Like, and Dalvin's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt. Like,
yeah,
he's never not gotten hurt. So there's no reason for us to
get banged up.
Yeah. He's going to get knocked out of a game, probably. Miss half a game or something. And then the Vikings are going to have Alexander Madison and Amir Abdullah being back there.
Mm-hmm.
I know this offense, the scheme is very running back friendly, and a lot of running backs have had success in it. But at the same time, Dalvin Cook is not just a typical running back. That's why they paid him, and that's why he's, you know, a lot of people look at him as one of the best in the league because he's just different. But yeah, I look at that Mike Boone departure and I'm like, yeah, they signed Amir Abdullah, but I'm not afraid of him when he's on the field. I don't think opposing teams are going to be afraid of him. Like, oh, how are we going to prepare for Amir Abdullah? You know, he's just done so much in his NFL career. But yeah, I do think they might look to the draft to find someone who can also be either a punt returner or a kick returner, because they like to just use guys in multiple ways who are lower on their depth chart, you know, like Chad Beebe or whatever. So I think that's an underrated thing to keep a look at. Do you think they'll be able to survive without Shamar Stephen out on the field every week missing tackles?
Well, what is doubt? Like, Mike Zimmer loves him some Dalvin Tomlinson, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he was gushing about him in his press conference.
He's good, though. He's good.
And, I don't know. I mean, it just seems they're throwing it back to 1990 is what they're doing. they're getting two big fat guys.
2009, 2008.
Yeah, but I mean, Kevin Williams could at least rush the pass.
No, yeah, he was very good.
There is no interior pass rusher for the Vikings, so they're just going to rely on the big blob and have Kendricks and Barr run around them. And we know they don't send Barr to the backfield, so are they making plays 2, 3, 4 yards downfield?
Yeah.
If it's four, that's you know, first down every time. There goes your third down defense. Like, I just not sure how this is going to work. I think in today's NFL, you need an interior pass rusher that can, you know, wreck stuff in the backfield. And you know, Mike Zimmer, if you just ask their staff, they know more about football than we do, and they do
more than PFF.
like more than PFF. You know, you ask Adam Zimmer about Anthony Barr, and he's just like, hey, man, this PFF, they got low grades, but they don't know, man. They don't know what we're asking Anthony Barr to do. Like, he's just got to do stuff. Like, we can't have him rusting the passer all the time. Like, he's great in coverage. He tucks everybody in.
He knows everyone's name.
He's got some sweet orange slices that his mom brings in. I mean, I don't even know where he gets them, man. They're delicious. And then he makes a great strawberry mojito after the game. Like, I'm so, like, I just get annoyed with, and the same with Stefan too. Like, every training camp, it was just like Andre Patterson.
It
was
you guys just don't see it.
You don't see it, man. He does so much for his defense, which is why he was cut. So is Dalvin Tomlinson just a bigger Shamar Stefan? Like, that's, I want to see those two in the middle of the defense. My jury's still out on Michael Pierce because he's never played more than what, 300, 350 snaps in a year.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
and he's coming, and he's, I mean, he should be in pretty good shape though. He's been out for a year. So, but yeah, I would think he's in pretty good. I've seen the video. Yeah, I've seen the videos of him, and he's looking pretty good training and stuff. But that, you know, everyone looks good. Laquon Treadwell looks good training. So, you know, wait till they get to the field. We mentioned Dakota Dozier before. They decided to re-sign him. He was one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive linemen in the NFL last season. So, just why in the world would the Vikings re-sign Dakota Dozier? Are they just trolling the fan base? Do they need a camp body? Like, what's going on?
Oh, I would not be surprised if he's the starting guard.
No, no.
That's how this team rolls.
Continuity.
Like I said, like, they don't think anything is wrong with the offense.
Yeah.
They don't think anything is wrong with the offense. And I mean, to a T, there's not. They did finish fourth in yards. That's great. 11th in points. It's good. But it could be better. Why? Like, I think I saw a stat, like 978 of Justin Jefferson's yards. I'm spitballing. It was like 970 were in the second half. And I mean, there's something to that because the Vikings defense was so bad. Yes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you had to throw in the second half, but there were other games, like, especially at the beginning of the year, those first six games, there were a couple games where Kirk Cousins was the problem. Like, you can pin the defense on Atlanta a little bit, but Kirk Cousins came out looking like he just slammed one of the Anthony Barr's strawberry mojitos before the game. And, like, I'm going to impale Deion Jones with this laser. And then, like, just like, oh, the ball's here. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Kirk. Like, they don't get Justin Jefferson involved in the game early. It's run, 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 run. And Dakota Dozier might be fine running, but if you have to pass and your defense suggests that you probably will, even with all these additions that you made, like, you're going to have problems. Kenny Clark's going to eat Kirk Cousins' lunch. Akeem Hicks is going to punch Brian O'Neill in the face again and laugh about it. Like, you're just going to get bullied again. And it like, signing Dakota Dozier is just like, oh, it's fine. Ezra Cleveland's a right guard too. Oh, we have Garrett Bradbury. He's okay. Like, the offense just, he's laughing because we have video on this podcast, and I'm just trying not to say something that could get put on Twitter, and, like, everybody would be like, man, like, you know, like, me walking into training camp next year and everybody looking at me like,
okay, there's that guy. There's, like, that guy.
Like, there's the guy that's internet famous. Like, it's just so frustrating to see this offense. And yes, Dalvin Cook is if he's not the best running back in the NFL, you could make a strong case for Derrick Henry, but Dalvin Cook does more. But I mean, at the same time, like, you have to be somewhat creative. And I don't care if Clint Kubiak's the offensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer's running this defense 100%. Like, Clint Kubiak's just the puppet. And Mike Zimmer's the puppet master. Because the first time Clint Kubiak tries to do some Kevin Stefanski stuff, you know what he's going to hear in his headset? I'm going to run the ball.
Well, you know, Kubiak tried to probably do some. He probably tried to do some of that stuff. Gary Kubiak tried to do some of that stuff probably last year when they were passing a bunch in the first couple of games, and they started 1-5. And Zimmer's like, hey, how about you give Dalvin the ball like 40 times a game instead?
Coach, it's 2nd and 17.
Run the ball. All right.
Just a thought.
Let's move on to, before we get out of here, let's move on to the draft. We are now in draft month. The 2021 NFL draft will take place at the end of the month on Thursday, April 29th. I believe it's in Cleveland, and I think there's going to be fans in attendance, so that'll be interesting to see how all that goes down. Currently, the Vikings have 10 picks in this year's draft. That number can obviously change, and it probably will since Rick Spielman is still the team's GM. After their free agent signings, you know, what direction do you think the Vikings will head in with their first-round pick this year? It comes in number 14 right now, and there should still be plenty of talent to choose from, you know, when it comes to them for time for them to be on the clock. Will they go defense, offense, best available, trade back, trade up? What are they going to do?
Probably take a linebacker or something. Linebacker. As long as it's on defense, I guess. You know, it depends on what they think of Ezra Cleveland and Rashad Hill. If they're comfortable with Hill at left tackle and Cleveland at right guard, I don't know. Maybe they'll take a corner now that today's news has dropped. Linebacker, you know, they could take an edge rusher. Quiddy Pay would be nice. Mm-hmm. Jalen Phillips is a nice addition. Like, I've seen people say wide receiver, but
I think it depends who it is.
Yeah, and according to Mike Zimmer's presser, I don't think they're taking a receiver, because if they do, they have to go to more three receiver sets. And I don't see the Vikings changing much about this offense. So, I mean, taking a Rashad Bateman is kind of pointless, because when is he going to get on the field with Thielen and Jefferson there? Yep. I think that the front runners are in the trenches. I think they'll either take a defensive end or they'll take an offensive tackle. And if it's Rashawn Slater, if it's Christian Darrisaw, if it's Anthony Vera Tucker would be a dream for the Vikings.
Elijah.
Because he can play Elijah Vera Tucker would be a dream, because he could play both tackle and guard. And like,
hopefully he would be, but you never know.
They could just move him around as much as they want. There's like, well, you know, Ezra Cleveland's a guard, but he could also play tackle. This guy can do both too. So, I mean, maybe they'll just do it like on a drive-by-drive basis. Like,
just everyone plays a different...
Vera Tucker?
Every series, would, everyone plays a different position.
He's like the Percy Harvin, but an offensive lineman. They just put him all over the formation and let him go. He's like tight end. What the hell?
If the Vikings draft him, I'm going to remember that, and I'll put that in a quote of, you know, what the draft experts are saying. He's the Percy Harvin of offensive linemen. People would be like, oh, wow, he's going to be so good. So is there an underrated position maybe you think the Vikings could target in the first round? I mean, you know, like facetiously mentioned linebacker, but maybe they do that with Anthony Barr being a free agent next year and Eric Wilson not being there anymore. You know, safety, running back, and with today's news with Jeff Gladney, I've seen this many times already, corner's probably in play now.
Yeah. What about a quarterback?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens. I mean, it's obviously a talker, because, and like you mentioned too, I saw a tweet by you yesterday, Rick Spielman has never traded
up in the first round. Nope.
And they don't have a second round pick. So I would be...
He has traded back. He's traded back into the first round. Like, he has a second round pick, but their top pick that they've had, they've never used that to trade up. It's either been stay put or trade back.
And the thing is, now they probably have to trade in the top four to get a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, one that's worthwhile. You know what? Like, everyone's like, the 49ers are trading up to get Mac Jones. Come on, get out of here. No, they're not. If they do, like...
He's just like Kirk Cousins.
Like, oh, yeah, that's a great... That's who you want to draft, number three. Like, no offense to Kirk Cousins. I like him. You know, he's a good quarterback. There's a reason he wasn't a top three pick for a reason, okay? But Mac Jones, like,
what,
everyone...
Was he fifth round?
Fourth, I think. I think he was fourth. Same draft as RG3. Like, the Redskins decided to draft two quarterbacks in the first four rounds, and Kirk Cousins turned out to be the better quarterback. But yeah, I think they are in a position, if a quarterback falls, to where Rick Spielman, you know, he gets the gears going, and he's like, hey, who wants this pick? Who wants number 14? You know, like, give me what you want. Give me a second round pick, and you can move right up here. So, like, if there is a Mac Jones available, if there is a Trey Lance available, you know, but I don't think they're going to get past. Well, actually, you know what? The Panthers just traded for Sam Darnold today, so that's a team you can probably cross off not drafting a quarterback, unless you think they might.
if things get weird and the Vikings do trade up, or let's say somebody drops to 14, who's the guy you want? And it's not Trevor Lawrence because he's not getting past one.
Quarterback wise?
Yes.
I like Justin Fields just because he's been consistent. I honestly haven't really been ever impressed with Trevor Lawrence. I know he's got great numbers, but he played with great teams. Like, those Clemson teams were the best in the nation, like, every year he was on that team. So let's see how he does on a Jaguars team. Let's see how he does putting a whole team on his back. Because there was some times where I'm like, I think defenses are going to eat this guy alive in the NFL.
And what happens with Urban Meyer? Like, is Urban just going to roll in with his college offense and be like, this is going to work?
Did you hear his comments about free agency? Did you hear his comments how he's like, he didn't think it was fair because everyone just immediately came in with all their offers and free agency. It was a wild scramble and he didn't get a chance to talk to anybody. And it's like, yeah, this is how it works. Like, you don't get to go to their house and have dinner with everyone, you know,
you
recruit them.
You don't get to flash your national championship.
You don't get to bring, like, you know, your briefcase of money that you probably brought to every recruit's house, you know, to get them to go to your school this time. But
Like, Troy Smith has one of those. How did he do?
I think Trevor Lawrence will be successful in the NFL, but I think, like, the hype of him being like this iconic, like, once in a lifetime prospect is a little overblown. He's had this narrative around him like his entire college career. And, you know, they did well at Clemson, but I think it was more than just him at Clemson. Like, if he was, let's think of someone like who wasn't on a powerhouse team who did well in the NFL. Like, there's a lot of those guys. Like, even you look at someone like Michael Vick, Virginia Tech, like, back in the day, they weren't a powerhouse team. And Michael Vick came in and he just, obviously, he didn't have the successful NFL career that people thought he would. Something kind of derailed that in the middle. He would still be able to be successful. Like, you look at someone like Eli Manning, who at Ole Miss, they weren't a powerhouse, like, an right. Ole Miss, and he comes in the NFL and wins 2 Super Bowls. So, like, I look at guys like that, and I'm like, you know, let's settle down on the hype. Maybe Trevor Lawrence can be good. I'm not brushing that to the side. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust or anything like that. And I look at guys sort of like Zach Wilson, who has had, we didn't know about him, you know, people like just, general people of knowledge of the draft didn't know about him last year.
Like, but I like guys that have track records.
Yes, Justin Fields. Honestly, and Trey Lance. You could even say that.
Trey Lance is a little bit smaller because, you know, he didn't play last year and he had, you know, one season as a starting quarterback. But I mean, this is totally different positions. But look at, or yeah, I'll bring this up. So, like, in my fantasy football league, because that perfectly mirrors professional football. But I'm just saying, you know, people were all about Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
No, yeah.
And they're like, look at him, his low center of gravity, and he can catch the ball. And
he was a first-round fantasy pick.
The Chiefs are going to throw him the ball. And it's like, the Chiefs throw all the time.
They throw everyone.
He's just going to run? Like, Jonathan Taylor stepped onto the field day one for Wisconsin and started busting off long runs like he was Adrian Peterson. Like, give me that. Give me a guy like Justin Fields has done this for what, 2-3 years as a starter for Ohio State.
And people are like, oh, well, Ohio State quarterbacks have never been good. You think anyone was good at Wyoming before Josh Allen got there? Like, you put that to the side.
Patrick Mahomes played at Texas Tech.
Yeah, like, it doesn't these days where you can transfer to, you know, every year wherever you want to go to school, it doesn't matter like what school you're at really. It is more about the prospect these days than it is about the school that they went to. And if you've been consistent and Justin Fields plays at a high level, he plays some of the best teams in the country, or he has played some of the best teams in the country in college football, and he did well.
If Justin Fields is there at like 14, or like even if he falls to like 12 and the Vikings don't trade up like somebody does, I might need a new TV.
He's not going to be there though. There's no way.
It would be my side TV, not my big TV. I would need a new TV in my living room.
We're going to see a video of Chris going, lots of viral Chris moments from this podcast. But what's the draft order? I want to see who, like, there's no way he's, getting past, I think, 4. Let's see. The Jets, they are going to draft Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Three is the Niners, who, yeah, right there. The Niners.
I'll take.
He's not going to get past the Falcons. The Bengals are not going to draft him. They have Joe Burrow. Dolphins have Tua. The Lions at seven. Like, if he gets to seven, why would the Lions pass on him? Because they're going to go with Jared Goff? Come on.
They're going to get a kneecap-biting fullback at seven.
Carolina might pass on him now because they just got Sam Darnold. The Broncos, like, Drew Lock, is he going to – is he a franchise savior? Like,
there's your team. They'll take a quarterback if one's available.
Yeah, yeah. And you got – let's see, Dallas, they got Dak, Giants, Daniel Jones, which he's in a make-or-break year, so maybe the Giants take a gamble if for some reason Justin Fields is available at 11, and then, you know, you got the Chargers and Vikings. But there's no way he's making it to 14. There's no all this talk of, like, Orlovsky, like, oh, there's some concerns about Fields. That's because he's got people in his ear. He's got teams telling him, like, you should lower his draft stock so, like, he can fall and we can get to him. That's the draft. That's what people. That's
what
happens
game within
every
game.
Year. This is what happens every year, and then people they're like, "Oh, you went number three. We're so surprised." And it's like, "No, you're not," because
unless he's got the Laramie Tunsil, you know.
Yeah.
Bomb, you know.
And look at him. He turned out to be a great player. He got the Dolphins so many draft picks. But that's gonna do it for us today, man. We talked about a lot of different stuff. It's unfortunate the way we had to begin the episode, but I think we ended it on a pretty good note. So thanks for joining, Chris. Where can people find you on Twitter?
I am at The Real Krishad, and then, of course, my podcast, The Homer Horn. You can follow at The Homer Horn. Lots of fun stuff going on there. And took a little bit of a break, but we'll ramp things back up as we head towards draft season.
For sure. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.